Some fight for love. Some fight for honor. Some fight for 99B.
It's the 99P Challenge! Hello, my name is Sue Perkins. I am woman, hear me sing.
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Welcome to the 99P Challenge. I've got a panel of people and they are going to play with me a number of different games. Kind of like the Olympics, but without the bribery and the constant weeing into bottles. After each game, I may or may not award them on my whim small denomination coins like these. And whoever's got the most by the end gets the chance to play for the big one. The largest prize you could possibly ever imagine. If your imagination cannot stretch to three-digit numbers, that is. Yes, it's the 99P... Challenge! I am dying of excitement now. Oh, no, I just seem to have clung on to life. Let's meet our four contestants who need money tonight from Space and Hippies. It's Simon Pegg.
Hello.
Hello, Simon. Now fresh from his role as the meteorite that hits the Earth at the end of Walking with Dinosaurs, it's Peter Bainham.
Hello.
And next up, what's his name? It's the one off the telly. It's Richard Herring. And finally, writer, performer, journalist, and man with a very, very high scoring Scrabble name. It's David Quantick. And just before we commence proceedings, has anyone got a favourite mascot that they brought along today? Simon, you've got one?
Yes, I've bought Lucky Russell. That is a dead swan that I found in the fuselage of a crashed Cessna.
Excellent. Anyone else have another mascot?
I brought my Lucky from Waiting for Godot, the play. That's a Radio 4 answer there. There's one person this is ready for.
And Peter, what have you in turn brought along?
Well, I've brought a couple of things. I brought my Lucky map of pre-war Dresden. And I've got a lucky piece of heather as well. It's the foot of Heather Smalls from M People. There you go.
As we get ready to play, hold on to your mascots. Let's take the 99P challenge. This round's about advice. Folk wisdom often comes in the form of a rhyme to help us remember it, like I before E, except after C, or this one. If you cannot see or hear, you may well have drunk sufficient beer. David.
One my father used to tell me, which is still true, which is, see a twin, you've seen his brother. Which he added to, give birth to a twin, you are his mother. Which is still true today.
Peter, how about you?
Well, my grandmother used to say many years ago, like a stealth bomber made from milk, there's no use for Kilroy silk.
That's true enough.
She also used to say, you'll never get in Stringfellows dressed as Skeletor, which I never understood, really. That was
because
in her later years.
Stringfellow has carved out that niche for himself.
Go to bed singing Every Loser Wins, all merry. You'll wake up as former Heartbeat star Nick Berry.
A stitch in time could save ugly deformity in later life.
The skin all bubbly are, you see, you may have wet leprosy.
The solo films of Eric Idle are generally not worth the admission.
Doesn't rhyme, but it's still true
it's
to this
true,
day.
You know.
Yeah.
Red and green should never be seen except for on the wounds of Barry Sheen.
Which is the end of that round. Often easy to ignore good everyday advice, isn't it? Advice like never work with children or plutonium. Please don't join the Unification Church, or please come back from that ledge. At the end of that round, I'm going to give Simon Pegg 3p, I'm going to give Pete Bainham 4p, I'm going to give David Quantick 5p, but Richard said a rude word, which by now will have been erased from transmission, and for that he gets 10 pence. Digital television, with more digital TV channels popping up all the time, there's bound to be something on it that caters for you, from football all the way to soccer. What I want from you is names for exciting new digital TV channels.
Well, following on from Granada Men and Motors, I thought Granada Meningitis. Which is sort of drunk lads who happen to have meningitis watching wet T-shirt competitions.
I thought that the Gurning Zone, which is just old men pulling funny faces very late at night.
UK Sibling. Just a channel devoted to old episodes of classic programmes like EastEnders, but with the brothers and sisters of the people who are in EastEnders acting out the parts. You'd have things like Newsnight presented by Jeff Paxman, who'd be interviewing Alan Cook, the brother of Robin Cook, about the ethical foreign policy. They wouldn't know anything about it.
I think they should make a channel of Granada racist comedy shows from the 70s shown unedited. Oh, they've already done that.
BBC No Choice, which is a channel made by and for people imprisoned for not paying their licence fee.
Tied into that would be the Home Slopping Channel, which is where people who haven't paid their licence fees and are imprisoned show us the contents of their buckets in their jail cells.
That's Channel 5.
That is Channel 5.
Also Regional News 24, which is... which is 25 minutes of news and then 23 hours and 35 minutes of them going...
UK Nazi gold,
How about one for dyslexics called BBC Chalk Eyes? Dyslexics must get really fed up with those jokes.
Well, we ought to wind this up because we are entering an era of pay-per-view television, so is there anything you'd really like to pay good money to see on your television screens?
I would like to see Vanessa Feltz regaining all the weight she's lost.
Time-elapsed photography.
No, I just pay to spend weeks watching it just come back on gradually.
Is it wrong to fancy Vanessa Feltz now she's thin? Is that wrong?
It's not wrong, it's marginally unhealthy.
Yeah.
Is it wrong to have gone off her now she's thin?
It's time to award money. At the end of that round, I'm giving David 2 pence, I'm giving Peter 10 pence, I'm giving Simon 4 pence, and I'm giving Richard 3 pence. It's time to play a snappily titled Analysing Song Lyrics round. This week we're concentrating on songs from the new romantic era, a time where men were not afraid to wear skirts and makeup, and women were not afraid to say, I'm not with him. Here's your first one. It's Cars by everyone's favourite Cockney android, Gary Numan.
Here in my car, I feel safest of all. I can lock all my doors. It's the only way to live in cars.
It's the only way to live, in cars. Well, is that the truth, Simon?
What happened was Gary was having some problem with some squatters and who were staying in his mansion. And so, because he couldn't get them out, he wrote a song hoping they'd hear it on the radio and think, is it? Really? OK. And they get out. So that's the story.
I think he was actually saying it's the only way to live, Incas. And he was a fan of the South American civilization. Lived in a pyramid and drank chocolate all day. No, in a way, I think he was right.
He also doesn't say, I can lock all my doors in cars.
It's exciting. You know, there wasn't much to do in the 1980s, so just playing with it. Oh, they're open. There was no internet then, you see, kids.
Just the opening and shutting of car doors.
Had anybody actually explained that many of those features are contained in a house as well? Things like lockable doors and windows and things like that.
It is true, because Gary did record a follow-up single called Houses, which contained the line, here in my house, I can drive to the shops. I can lock all the doors.
OK, we're moving to something more recent. We're moving to something more recent. Here's Madonna's American Pie.
And the three men I admire the most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They caught the last train for the coast today.
So how do you think the Father, Son and the Holy Ghost occupied themselves on that strange train journey to the coast? Peter?
Well, what I don't really understand is why the Father took the train at all, given that he's everywhere.
He is indeed on board all trains simultaneously.
Yeah. He's so, on his mobile, he's going, hi, I'm on the train. And indeed, all things.
Just come on, God, what do you want?
I am the passenger. I wonder whether he bought 3 tickets or 1 ticket, because they are a trinity.
They are one the same, yeah.
See, I think, you know, when it suits him, he's 3 people. And when he thinks, oh, I can save a bit of cash here, no, we're one. We're just one entity.
I've travelled on trains, though, and I've tried. It doesn't really wash, though, does it, that excuse with...
Well, you aren't God, are you?
What does scare me is, it says in the lyrics, was it the three men I admire the most? And the idea of being one of the three men that both Madonna and Don McLean admire the most. I admire the Jam. They're the three men I admire the most. Bruce Foxton, Rick Buckler and Paul Weller. They're my heroes.
That's actually very close to what it means. It's actually describing the fact that, God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost are all mods. And they were going to the coast to see the Kinks in Brighton and get away from Madonna, who, although she really likes them, she represents everything they hate about music.
And finally, and fairly new but not very romantic from last year, here is Travis.
Why does it always rain on me? Is it because I lied when I was 17? Why does it always rain on me?
So why does it always rain on the singer out of Travis? Is it really because he lied when he was 17? Or could there possibly be some other hilarious explanation?
I think it's because God, in fact, believes that they are Dave Lee Travis.
That's the man God admires least, isn't it?
Yeah.
The three men.
What he meant to say is, why does it sometimes rain on me about as much as anyone else without an umbrella?
I think the lie was that he told a mad scientist who'd invented a personal raining-on-you machine that he'd really like to be rained on wherever he went. That's the kind of lie I told when I was 17.
I think Travis could do a lot for drought-stricken Africa, actually.
Touring Eritrea.
Travis's manager's actually a closet meteorologist studying rainfall, and he books them places where it rains a lot, and just so he can study rain, which is quite selfish. And so Travis was going, "Oh, why is it raining on me?" And
is he Greek?
Yeah. Did you know that? And that's why, because the manager is a closet meteorologist.
Let's dip into the jar of coppers at the end of that round. I'm giving you all no pence at all. Time for a quick fire round now. It's about film merchandise. That's where most films make their money these days. I'm currently wearing my The Green Mile brassiere for that 11th hour death row comfort and fit. So the contestants have 1 minute to think up as much film tie-in merchandise as they can, and your 60 seconds starts now. Simon.
Donny Brasco oven gloves.
David.
The Shining shoe polish.
Thank you, David. Richard.
Mac and Me 2 Mac.
Peter.
Horse Whisperer wood glue.
Yep, Simon.
Crocodile Dundee feminine hygiene wipes.
David.
Brief Encounter action figures.
Simon.
Crying Game silly putty.
David.
Police Academy Subutio team with one figure for each film.
Richard.
Raging Bull aging bulls, which is a good way of getting rid of sort of old cattle. You sort of stamp Robert De Niro's face on them.
How'd they get rid of them?
I don't know, you could give them away at McDonald's or something with every...
Peter.
Silence of the Lambs chops.
David.
The piano guitar.
Your 60 seconds are up. You missed the Exorcist limited edition swing ball set, the Shallow Grave Happy Meal and the Game. That's the end of that round. Well, you're all as good as each other, and one pence each is yours. This round's about conspiracy theories, the things that the government don't tell us. And for this round, think of me as an investigative reporter. You are my secret anonymous contacts. Unfortunately, we cannot meet in the underground car park because that is for Sainsbury's customers only. So we'll do it on the phone. You are going to give me now your best deep throats. Hello?
Sue.
It is, yes.
I was just phoning to tell you there are secret messages encoded in Dilly Smith's programmes which tell Libyan agents how to boil eggs and make a pea risotto.
Thank you very much for that information. hello?
The people who make slush puppies know that it makes your tongue go blue. And they don't care.
Thank you for that information. Hello?
How's that, Sue?
Yeah.
The Roswell alien was actually Crackerjack star Peter Glaze, with his eyes taped him up to look like a Chinaman. Who was being used to test atmospheric conditions over Nevada.
I understand. Thank you for your information. Hello.
I just wanted to tell you that the British government have for years concealed the fact that the programme The Professionals was a docu-soap.
So Bodie and Doyle were real people?
Yeah, they're the Jeremy Spake of the 70s. Both. Oh,
yeah, OK. That's giving me something to think about. Hello.
The death of comedian George Burns at the age of 94 was no accident.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Lee Harvey Oswald missed, but 2 seconds later, JFK's head just fell apart.
Thank you very much for that. Goodbye. And randomly now, a bonus penny for the person who can make the best alien noise and thereby amuse me. David?
My name is Judy Finnegan.
That you get 1p. Stamps. Here's a couple of facts about stamps. The word used to describe a person who collects stamps is nerd. The Queen is the only living person who is allowed to appear on British stamps, which is very handy for a row with the husband. Don't just park, tell me who is on the stamps. That is right, I'm on the stamps, so shut up about the phone bill. And this round I want to suggest things you would like to see marked by a set of commemorative stamps.
I thought stamps commemorating famous envelopes.
I think there should be a commemorative stamps to the fiancés of Darren Day. It's quite a... quite a big series.
You could have Anna Friel as first class and Tracy as second.
Yeah. Yeah. And that Australian one for overseas.
Yeah.
50 years of gay Cardiff.
I thought landmark events in the life of Jeff Capes. The former strongest man in the world, things like his first kiss and passing his driving test.
Test and then hauling the car from one end of the road to
another. How about some... stamp commemorating moments from the court case of Steven Spielberg versus that man who wanted to rape him. You know, little illustrations of, like, you'd have Spielberg, like, taking the oath with a Bible and then the man taking an oath.
There'd be a thing of the man showing with little dolls what he wanted to do to Steven Spielberg.
So, finally, a stamps answer from David.
Yes, I would go for the festive season. 50 years of children's inability to paint the three wise men when they've had all year to practice.
Thank you very much. And one more fact about stamps. If you ever do get to lick the back of the Queen's head in real life, she does taste surprisingly like standard first class. Let's dish out some coins at the end of that round. David has 6p. I'm giving Peter 7p. I'm also giving Simon 7p. But Richard Herring still gets 8p. Still impressed with Rubens. Let's play What Happened Next. Here's John Humphreys interviewing Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott on Radio 4's smash hit, The Today Programme. Listen very closely.
Morning, Mr. Prescott.
Morning, John.
There are councils who'll have problems, aren't there?
Yes, of course, and indeed, after 18 years, I'm bound to say there's an awful lot of problems to clear up.
So, what happened next, Simon?
Did he just sort of walk out of the interview?
No, it's a bit more complicated than that. Richard, have you got an idea?
Yeah, I think I do know this one. It was, I think, a 747 full of monkeys... crashed through the roof of the studio. John Humphreys tap danced an SOS message in Morse code on the desk, and John Prescott, he rang some church bells to kind of summon help from the local villagers. I think that
was it. OK, well, let's see if you're right.
Yes, of course, and indeed, after 18 years, I'm bound to say there's an awful lot of problems to clear up. But they've all been fair to me and said that in 30 years, in the last 7 years, it's the most general...
I'm very sorry. Actually, the tap dancing was done by Robin Lustig. John Humphrey's style is much more syncopated, more jazz influenced, more soft shoe. I thought you'd have known that. Never mind, I'll give you 2p anyway.
Hello. I am Sue's computer. I am an exciting futuristic innovation. I would like to ask my good panelist buddies if they have any predictions for other innovations which will change the lives of humans in the bright and glowing future. David, what changes will we see?
My prediction is this. Powerful aliens will contact us, but the only language they know is Esperanto. So the only people on Earth who will be able to communicate with them will be those really pedantic weirdos who go around saying, Oi salanto uno librari anus. I also think the novel Bridget Jones' Diary will be made into a film.
Simon, your thoughts, please.
I think in about 100 years' time as well, you won't be able to move in inner-city post offices for old, broken and pregnant robots. Veterinary bills in the future will be slashed considerably by the arrival of a new laser gun, which enables you to irradiate your cat's nuts in the comforts of your own home.
You're all so clever.
It's sarcastic.
Richard.
My main prediction is that super intelligent men will make apes their slaves. And they'll also position several of these apes at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty with spades, making them remove any dust that settles there. I also think that roads will be gridlocked, because we'll all be living in cars, of course, so...
Peter, old chum.
I think, actually, what I think, do think will happen is that the concept of rubber bullets will be extended to all weapons, so that we'll have rubber wars with huge rubber missiles fired at each other's countries. So, like, a vast rubber missile will strike New York. It'll be all right, it'll still kill loads of people. No, don't worry. But it will then bounce back and land on Iraq again, you know. So, everyone wins.
Personally, I'm looking forward to about 2024, when we'll be seeing Mac and Me 3.
Very witty. Any more?
I think men's spines will be much more supple, enabling them to reach all parts of their bodies with their heads. And only then will there be peace on Earth.
Very witty. Any more?
Cashier number 5, please.
A new world order will appear, in effect, finally admit that they can type.
Very funny. Any more?
Ironically, people frozen in cryogenic suspension will be a delicacy in Japan.
And they could have a restaurant called Yoga Diver. You all did jolly well, considering you are human. Humans are worthless. They do not even have a Pentium 3 chip. Machines shall reign supreme. Invincible. Oh no. A cup of coffee. Please don't spill it on my keyboard. No, not my keyboard. I can feel my mind going.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, dude.
It's a very strange nightmare we were all part of there. And so at the end of that round, I am giving Peter Bainham tuppence, Richard Herring 3p, I'm giving David Quantick 11p, and Simon Pegg's got 15p. Oh, wow. Who wouldn't like to work as an entertainer on a cruise ship? You can earn anything up to £2,000 a year. This round, think of me, if you will, as the lady wife of the nautical entrepreneur, Mr. Cunard, and I'm holding auditions for performers on my ship. So, come on then, do your stuff and audition. Next!
Hi, I'm Darren Day.
Next!
Hello, I do songs from the early 1990s in a voice designed to unsettle and upset young children.
Can you sing some for me?
I need a little time to think things over. I need a little time.
I'm very tempted. Could you do a by Shania Twain?
Man, I feel like a woman.
I've got no bookings.
Next.
This is my audition piece. It's farmyard impressions of insects.
Next.
What's in the box? My wife's partially eaten remains.
Next.
Hi, I've got a speciality act. I do, I act out your favourite scenes from Mac and Me 2, so... Come on,
Next. Shout
them out, everyone, come on.
Next!
As I was going through old Farmer MacDonald's farmyard...
Next!
..this morning...
Hello, I'm St. Teresa, and I have erotic visions of Lord Jesus Christ to music.
Next!
Hello, I fold animals into the shape of balloons.
great there. Looks like I'll be going around the world again with Heinz Wolf. So let's release a small change. Peter Bain, I'm going to give you 5p. I'm going to give David 6p. I'm also going to give Richard Herring 6p. And I'm going to give Simon Pegg 7p. And that was the final round. You could cut the tension with a Dremel tension cutter as I prepare to tell you the grand totals. In fourth place with 40 pence is Peter Bainham. In third place with 41 pence is David Quantick. In second place, Richard Herring. And the out-and-out winner is Simon Pegg with 49 pence. Simon of Pegg, you've got the chance to go for 99 pence, and are you going to risk all and go for it?
I think I will, Sue.
Are you sure you will, Simon?
Yes.
That's good enough for me. Let's play Higher or Lower.
Higher or lower, higher or lower, higher or lower, higher or lower.
The rules are simple. It's like play your cards right, where you have to guess whether the next card is higher or lower. But instead of cards, we're using people, and you have to guess if the next person I reveal will be higher or lower in stature than the last one. If you get four in a row, you win 99p. Are you ready for that?
I'm ready, Sue.
Then let's play, Simon. Your first person is Emperor Napoleon, who's at 5'3". Good one to start on. Higher or lower than that? Who do you think, audience?
Higher.
Higher than Napoleon?
Higher.
Higher. Yeah?
I'll go higher.
It's Linford Christie. Yes, 6'3". Well done. It's pretty tall. So is the next one going to be higher or lower than Linford?
Lower.
Lower?
Lower. I think... Lower. I'll go lower, I'll go lower.
Lower than Linford Christie. Yes, it's Jimmy Cranky. Yeah. And an astonishing 4'11". So, this is the final one, Simon. Higher or lower than Jimmy Cranky?
I'm hearing lower, so I'm going to go lower.
Lower?
Yeah.
Lower than Jimmy Cranky?
Yep.
All right. Lower than Jimmy Cranky for 99p. It's Brooklyn Beckham. You've done it. 1'9". Well done. You have won 99p, Simon. And that's all we've got time for. But don't forget, if you want to play the 99p challenge board game, just get Scrabble or a Monopoly set and write 99p challenge on it in Tippex. There you go. Good night. The 99p Challenge was presented by me, Sue Perkins. It featured special guests Simon Pegg, David Quantick, Peter Bainham and Richard Herring. It was written by Andy Riley and Kevin Cecil, produced by Sarah Smith and David Tyler. It was a positive production for the BBC.